is a story that I'm sure everyone knows. It's a famous story. I'm only bringing it up for the point involved here. The Holy Rav Moshe Alshich. The Alshich was one of the Mikubalim from Tzfas, one of the contemporaries of the Arizal, Rav Shlomo Alkevitz, Rav Moshe Corvadero. He once spoke to his Talmidim about placing one's trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what, and that he, Hashem, in return, would provide parnasa for that person without fail. So there was a simple, hard-working wagon driver who was sitting in the crowd, who was sitting in when the Alshich was saying over the speech, and he overheard everything, and he heard it, he took it to heart, and he thought to himself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I working day and night with this back-breaking labor of lifting stuff, putting on my wagon, doing stuff in the freezing cold, and doing everything, working with my donkey, when I could just sit in the base medrash, I could just sit and say Tehillim. I don't need to do any of this stuff. The Rav said, Hashem will take care of all my needs. So Hashem will take care of all my needs. So he did exactly that immediately. He retired, and instead of working his crazy day and waking up, he sat in shul all day long. He said Tehillim right near the warm furnace in the back, right by the furnace, and that was it. His wife, his family, they were nervous. They came to him, and they said, you know, how are we going to live? Where are we going to get parnasa from? And he said, don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide parnasa for everything we need. The Alshich said so. The Alshich said it was going to happen, and that's that. Now, the family had no access to the Alshich. They didn't have the ability to go ask. And he himself, there was not much he was going to do. He looked at his family and said, it's not worth it. None of this is worth it. The weather's not worth it. The animals, the fact that I have to take care of them, I'm done. I'm in the capable hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So they weren't able to convince their husband, their father, to do anything over here. So they sold the donkey and the wagon to a traveling salesman. There was a non-Jewish traveling salesman who was coming by. They sold the donkey and they sold the wagon over to that guy. And they said, listen, we have no use for it anymore. Maybe you could have some use for it. So they sold it, they got a little bit of money, and that money was able to tide them over for the next couple days, next week or two, so that things were there. So that non-Jew who bought it took the wagon, took the donkey, and brought it with him, and he started digging outside of the area of Tzfas, right around the area, started digging holes, looking for different areas where he could plant seeds, looking for good ground, good dirt that he'd be able to plant some seeds. He goes around, as he's digging one place after the other, he comes upon something, he lifts it up off the ground. It was a huge treasure chest. In the treasure chest, there was gold, silver coins, diamonds, all these gemstones. He was amazed. He said, this is amazing. He had an unbelievable metziah. And he takes it and he puts it on top of his wagon, right? And as he's bringing it on top of the wagon, he puts it on top. He wants to cover it up completely. As he's trying to do everything, he falls backward, smacks his head on a rock, and dies. So he's done. The donkey just waits there till nightfall, then realizes he's not getting fed. He doesn't care about his new master. That doesn't make any difference to him. What does the donkey do? Well, he goes back to the only place he knows. He goes back to his old owner's house, the one who's been sitting in shul and just sitting and doing, you know, doing nothing all day, sitting and learning Tehillim all day. And he goes back to that old master's house. And they go inside and they see, hey, look, it's the donkey. It's the wagon. What happened to the guy who bought it? I don't know. Where is he? They look in the wagon itself. They lift up the blanket and they see there's a treasure box in there. They open it up. They see what's inside there. Some of the kids run to go get their father. And they say, look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. And they started running back. And he said, look, this is what Hashem does for those who believe in his word. Those who HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of them. You put your package on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, he'll take care of you. Obviously, the story spread like wildfire throughout all the area of Tzfas. Everybody heard about this, and they heard this man, because of the speech of the Alshich, the Alshich's Talmidim heard about this, and they went straight to Ramosh Alshich, and they said to the Alshich, what's going on? We've been learning in Kolo for years now. We've been learning under your Kolo. Of course we placed our package on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's back. Of course we said to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that you're in charge. But we never found treasure. We didn't become as rich as that guy did. Why is it that he found the treasure and we didn't? What's the difference between us? Why didn't we have any miracles happen for us the same way it did for him? The Alshich turned to them and said, there's a problem. The problem is you're too smart. Because when I said that speech, immediately all of you started thinking of, what about Hishtadlus? What about Hishtadlus? That's a stira. What is it? Should you be some bitacho be'akadosh baruch hu? Put your bitacho on akadosh baruch hu? Should you do a little bit of ishtadlus itself? What about Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef HaTzadik put his hands in that, put his fate in the arms of the butler. Was that the right thing to do? Was that not the right thing to do? You brought stiras from different gemaras, maybe from Shulchan Aruch. You're too smart. You thought it through too deeply. And because of that, there was no simple emunah in my words. It was, does a Kaddish Baruch Hu, if I put my package on a Kaddish Baruch Hu, will a Kaddish Baruch Hu take care of me? Yeah, but there's other things involved. This laborer, this guy, the wagon driver, he has no real head. He has no idea what he's thinking, what he's doing. He has no idea. All he knows is, the Al-Sheikh said, if you sit and learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything for you. So he did it. No extra thoughts, no complications. It was just simply put, the simplest amuna pshuta that you can get. He did it, and that's what happened. He got rewarded quickly. Got rewarded very quickly for it. The mon was given over to a people who dedicated their lives to learning Torah. But it didn't come immediately. They still had to leave Mitzrayim with dough on their shoulders. But think of the faith that the Jewish people had. Every year I get asked this question. I'm sure people have either thought of this question or you answered it yourselves. This is an obvious question. Why in the world did the people not prepare food to leave Mitzrayim with? Why in the world did they wait until the morning when they were already leaving? And then all of a sudden they said, oy vey, what are we supposed to do? And they put dough on their shoulders and it baked. Why would they have done that? You know you're leaving. Moshe Rabbeinu told them they're leaving. Everybody had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had their sticks, their walking sticks in their hands, they had their belts on, their shoes on their feet, they're ready to go at any second. Where's the food? Why wouldn't you have prepared food? Isn't that an obvious question? And instead they had to throw the dough on their shoulders and walk out and expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bake their matzahs for them as they went out. By the way, there is a proof from that. Matzah doesn't have to be baked within 18 minutes. Do you think the matzah was baked in 18 minutes while it was on their shoulders? Do you know how hot it has to be for that to happen? It was at 550 degrees outside, or it's able to bake on their shoulders in 18 minutes? No. Under 18 minutes, you know there's no problem with chilutz. But you could still bake matzahs if it's over 18 minutes. It's just not suggested. You just shouldn't do it. But it could be that it's still matzah and not chametz in more than 18 minutes. 18 minutes is the go-to. This is no matter what, you're going to be okay. And the proof is mamish from Bnei Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. They made matzahs on their shoulders in 100-degree weather. It probably took them about 80 minutes for it to bake as matzahs, but yet it's still matzah. That wasn't chametz. I think that's a pretty obvious idea. But the man, it was given to them because in the end, they did place their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They went out with nothing. They said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you told us to get our knapsacks, you told us to get our belts on, you told us to get our shoes, our walking stick, you told us to get everything, and we did. You didn't tell us to get food, so we didn't make food. That was pure, simple, unadulterated bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do, and it's going to be okay. I'm not going to think anything too heavy, I'm not going to do anything crazy, this is what I'm going to do. And they said it as soon as they were ready to do it. They didn't think, what about Ishtadlus? They didn't think, what about this? They said, this is what it's supposed to be. And when they left Mitzrayim, and a couple days later they were hungry, they simply put, they looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so where's our food? What are we supposed to eat now? We didn't make anything because we're putting everything on you. You're the one in charge here. We're doing nothing for this. Nothing. And we're willing to put everything there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded them with man. The slav, which was a taivadik of food they were punished for. The slav was a little bit different, but the man they were rewarded with. And according to Rav Moshe, the Darash Moshe, an amazing line, he says, had they not complained at all, if they wouldn't have said anything, in Parsha B'Shalach, they wouldn't have even gotten man. Nothing would have happened. So what would they have eaten? Nothing. So wouldn't they be hungry? No, they wouldn't have asked. They would have gone 40 years, says Rav Moshe, without ever eating one morsel of food. And they wouldn't have noticed anything, and they wouldn't have been bothered by it. Because they asked for water, and they asked for man, they asked for food, they got the man, they got the Be'er Shel Miriam. But had they not asked, had nobody asked anything, they would have been fine. They would have been Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. There would have been no food, and they would have been fine. There would have been no issue whatsoever. Isn't that amazing, Rav Moshe? But that's what it means to put your bitachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything would have been there for you. You get the month's there in your hands, and it's the greatest thing of all time. You don't even have to ask for anything else. And they were so amazed by it. Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Ruderman was the Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael, really the founder of Ner Yisrael, together with Rav Weinberg. Rav Ruderman, he once said over in a speech that there was a student in Ner Yisrael who had married the daughter of a very wealthy man in Baltimore, a very well-known wealthy man in Baltimore. And when he went to the wedding, and this man was known as a very fine individual, this son-in-law, this man that was getting married, or the boy that was getting married, was also a very chashuv bachur in the yeshiva. So right before the chuppah, the young man approached Rav Ruderman. It was right in the room right before they were ready to walk down to the chuppah. I said, Rebbe, you know that I'm going to be entering my father-in-law's business. After I stopped, kola was a thing for very, very few people back then. He said, you know I'm going to be entering my father-in-law's business after this. What practices should I follow to establish a Jewish home? What do I need to make this into a Jewish home? What do I need? I'm going to be working. What am I supposed to do? So Ruderman told him you should set aside 2 to 3 hours a day in order to have learning be'ian with a chavrusa. 2 to 3 hours a day. Whether it's in the morning, in the evening, both. The 2 to 3 hours a day. Adhere to this schedule, he told him. If you keep to this schedule for the next 3 years, the first 3 years of your marriage, said there will be an unbelievable foundation for you to start off with. And by doing that, you'll have a real Torah household. 2 to 3 hours. At that moment, the future father-in-law walked into the room and he said, what's holding up? What's going on? We're trying to start the chuppah over here, but what's going on? And he sees that they're talking. Rav Ruderman said, your son-in-law, your chashuv new son-in-law just asked me a question, how you should have a Torah home. He wanted to know. And I told him you should have 2 to 3 hours of learning the Ian, and that way he's going to have a Torah home. The father-in-law became so irate, angry, like you can't believe. He looked at Rav Ruderman and he said, my son-in-law is going into business and you're telling him Narishkeit? You're telling him that garbage? You know what you should tell him? You should tell him that everything in the business world, you're entering a business world, the first order of business, the first thing you do is to learn the ropes and make a fortune. That's what you have to do. Everything else is secondary. Everything else comes second to that. There's nothing else there. You make a fortune, that's what you really want to do. Rav Ruderman told over the story, he said, the young man listened to me. He didn't listen to his father-in-law. And he became a very good businessman, very good, made a little bit of money. But at the end of the day, he has a fine Jewish home with good Jewish children. And everything's going well in the house. What's amazing to me, Rav Ruderman said, is the reaction of a person that everybody considers a fine individual. But look at when it came down to it. He's ostensibly religious and he does what he's supposed to do. But he's suffering from such confusion all at the same time. What are our priorities in life? What are the real priorities? And what do we need to do? Our parnasa, we know, comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we're not going to be like that simple wagon laborer. Maybe we're not going to find the treasure in our home from a donkey that we used to own. If you own a donkey, we've got problems in and of itself. But maybe that won't be our lives. Maybe that's not going to be it. But somehow, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will give us everything we need. And we know that. The only way to really put that to the test, the only way to really feel that way, is that when we do get out from the Beis Medrash, when we do have that time where we need to start working, if some of us already have started, it's the summer's month where there is an ability to take off and to work at some point, and we have that, what are our values going to be? What's the value all about? Is it all about the value of the dollar, or is it the value of our neshama, and how it's going to be affected by where we go and what we do with ourselves? It's so important to have that bitachon, but to understand where that bitachon leads us, to allow us to remember what the real deal behind being a businessman is supposed to be. Stop with that.